Everybody okay?
I don't know how to do
it. Oh.
I was asking them in Hokkien language.
I see.
And they answer you. You ask in English, and they
same sign.
Okay, let's do a little bit of chanting the mantra again this morning. When we do that, you can visualize Kuan Yin in the space in front. I don't think it's not...
Yeah.
Okay, that's better, thank you. So when we're visualizing, you can imagine Chakrasi Kuan Yin either in front of you or above your head, and light coming into you and also going into all the sentient beings around you, purifying and bringing the realizations. So you can do that visualization when we're chanting.
Di saat kita mendaras mantra, Anda bisa visualisasikan Cek Rezik dan Kuan Yin ada di depan Anda atau di atas Anda, dan ada cahaya putih yang masuk ke Anda dan juga orang-orang di sekitar Anda.
Oh.
motivasi kita.
So it's good to broaden our perspective and recall that we have more than just this one life.
Apakah baik kamu buka seluruh tahap kita dan mengingat bahwa adalah lebih dari sekedar dunia ini saja.
And in previous lives, all sentient beings at one time or another have been our parents and thus have raised us with kindness and love many times in previous lives.
Di satu kehidupan sebelumnya, ada makhluk yang telah menjadi orang tua kita dan mereka telah begitu bekerjasama besarnya kita merawat kita dalam kehidupan-kehidupan yang sesungguhnya tak baik.
So when we meet different beings in this lifetime, it's good not to just see them as their present body, but remember that we have this long close connection with them in which they've been kind to us.
Jika kita melihat sosok makhluk, jangan saja berhubungan dengan mereka dengan tubuh ini, tapi mengingat bahwa selama ini sesungguhnya mereka telah baik kepada kita.
And when we remember that, then automatically a feeling of wanting to repay the kindness arises in our hearts.
Dan dengan merenungkan itu, secara otomatis niat untuk membalas kebaikan mereka akan tumbuh di dalam hati kita.
And we also become a lot more patient and less judgmental towards others when we remember their kindness.
Cara terbaik membalas kebaikan mereka adalah dengan mengajarkan mereka perilaku etik sehingga mereka bisa membebaskan diri mereka dari lingkaran kebahagiaan berulang.
And the best way to do that is to progress along the path to full awakening ourselves, so that we have the wisdom, compassion, and skillful means to be of the greatest
benefit.
So these people don't want to harm us. You know, they think what they're doing is caring for us.
Mereka sesungguhnya tidak ingin menyakiti kita. Mereka yakin bahwa apa yang mereka lakukan itu adalah bentuk kepedulian kepada kita.
So it's better for our dharma practice if we have friends who have the same Buddhist world view as we do, and who understand that very personal spiritual aspect of us.
Sebagai praktisi dharma, baik sekali kita punya teman yang punya pandangan Buddhis yang sama dan juga memiliki aspirasi spiritual yang sama.
But that doesn't mean that we look at the other people and go, oh, you're an evil friend. Oh, don't come near me.
Tapi tidak berarti kita bilang ini, tapi teman yang jahat dan dekat saya.
But rather, as with all sentient beings, we respond with loving kindness, with compassion.
Dengan semua makhluk kita merespon dengan belas kasih dan kasih.
But we just don't become real close to them.
Tidak hanya sungguh-sungguh dekat dengan mereka.
And when we have difficulties and need support from a friend or help from a friend, they're not the people that we go to for that help.
Saat kita butuh dukungan dan bantuan, teman seperti itu kita tidak pergi ke mereka untuk minta bantuan dan dukungan.
Okay. But we're still nice, we're polite, we're friendly.
Kita tetap baik, ramah ya, pada mereka.
Okay, so it's not a thing of excluding other people with that.
Ini bukan menyingkirkan mereka ya.
Okay. Then the second thing I wanted to clarify was about taking refuge in the Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha, and the importance of taking refuge only in the Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha.
Yang perlu diperjelas adalah tentang berlindung kepada Buddha, Dharma, dan Sangha, dan hanya berlindung kepada Buddha, Dharma, dan Sangha.
Because as the verse said, if we take refuge in worldly deities and spirits, they don't have the ability to lead us to full awakening. And so we don't want to rely on them for spiritual guidance.
Kita tidak bergantung kepada para dewa duniawi untuk bimbingan spiritual, karena mereka sendiri masih berada di alam lingkaran pelajaran.
Again, that doesn't mean that we hate them or we hate people who believe in them.
Tapi itu tidak berarti kita membencinya atau membenci orang-orang yang percaya kepada mereka.
And it's a similar thing with Buddhist teachers or people who put themselves forth as Buddhist teachers but don't really teach the Dharma correctly. We don't hate those people and go, what?
Dan juga kepada orang-orang yang mengerti dirinya sebagai Buddhist spiritual, dan ternyata tidak ya, kita tidak membenci orang-orang seperti itu.
But we try to be very clear within ourselves about the path we're following and stick to that.
Ya, kita hanya ingin sangat jelas dengan jalan yang kita ikuti dan kita tetap berada di dalam itu.
So for that reason, it's very important to get a general understanding of what the Buddha's teachings are.
Itu kita perlu sangat jelas untuk memahami secara umum apa saja ajaran Buddha.
And to really think deeply about them and investigate them and make sure you understand them correctly.
Dan kita sungguh-sungguh mengerti, menceknya, memeriksa secara mendalam dan memahaminya dengan tepat.
And to remember that there, you know, we live in a world with a big spiritual supermarket.
Dan kita tinggal di dunia dengan supermarket spiritual yang besar.
And people will teach you about crystals. You know, there's people who teach crystals, and there's people who teach about being vegetarian, and there's people who teach about rebirthing, And there's all sorts of different spiritual things out there.
Di luar sana ada begitu banyak hal spiritual yang ada di tentang kelahiran berulang, vegetarian, tentang kristal.
And we have to differentiate between those things in the spiritual supermarket and the Buddha's pure teachings.
Kita harus membedakan antara ajaran Buddha yang murni dengan supermarket spiritual yang tersedia di luar.
Okay, so that's very important to do. Otherwise, we get a very confused notion of what Buddhism is.
Kita harus sungguh-sungguh jelas dengan ini. Jika tidak, kita akan bingung ya mengenai prinsip atau ajaran dari Buddha.
It's also important to realize that, for example, in the field of psychology and many other fields now, they are teaching mindfulness meditation, and the way they're teaching it is a way that it has its roots in Buddhism, but the exact way they're teaching it is not exactly how the Buddha taught it.
Ada ajaran tentang meditasi sadar penuh, akarnya juga dari ada meditasi sadar penuhnya ada akar di Buddha, tapi sesungguhnya cara mengajarkannya tidak benar-benar bersumber dari ajaran Buddha.
So the way they're teaching it applies to the field of psychology and neurology and so forth, but we shouldn't think that is Buddhism and that's all Buddhism has to offer. Because
dan yang diajarkan tentu saja berhubungan dengan psikologi dan neuro, tapi bukan berarti apa yang agama Buddha tawarkan ya.
So it's beneficial to people, but it's being taught in the perspective of how to improve just this life.
Ajaran itu bermanfaat untuk orang, tapi diajarkan hanya untuk memperbaiki diri di kehidupan ini saja.
Whereas when Buddha taught mindfulness, he taught it first with the motivation to help us get out of samsara.
Buddha mengajarkan sadar penuh, motivasinya adalah agar kita bebas dari samsara.
And also the way he taught it was very much together with wisdom and an understanding of how things exist.
Buddha mengajarkannya bersama-sama dengan kebijaksanaan tentang bagaimana segala sesuatu itu eksis.
Okay, so he didn't teach mindfulness just as bare attention of what is going on in your mind.
Ya, Buddha mengajarkan meditasi sadar penuh bukan hanya tentang mengetahui apa yang ada di pikiran Anda.
So my purpose in saying this is so that we know that what these people are doing is rooted in Buddhism, it's beneficial to people, you know, in the psychological sense, but what the Buddha taught goes far beyond what they're teaching, and what they're teaching isn't all that Buddhism has to offer.
Ya, saya mengatakan ini karena kita perlu mengetahui bahwa apa yang mereka ajarkan itu membawa manfaat, tapi kita juga harus tahu bahwa Buddha punya lebih banyak yang ditawarkan dan lebih banyak ajaran yang diberikan.
And another point I wanted to clarify is when you are looking at the qualities of people to see if you are going to choose them as your spiritual master. Yesterday I gave you some qualities to look for.
Dan kita juga harus paham tentang orang-orang yang kita anggap sebagai guru spiritual. Kemarin saya sudah jelaskan beberapa kualitas yang Anda perlu cari.
Okay, such as compassion, ethical conduct, sincere motivation to benefit disciples, and so on.
Seperti welas asih, moralitasnya juga niat tulus untuk membantu, mengajar.
But charisma is not one of the qualities.
Tapi karisma bukan salah satu kualitas dari guru tersebut.
And I say that Because in our world, we, the way society is, we tend to look for famous people who have a lot of glitz and glamour and high titles and regality and, you know, like this.
Masyarakat kita ini terpicu ya, senang sesuatu yang sifatnya glamor, megah ya, dan punya banyak gelar.
Yeah, we go, oh, you know, here's the venerable holiness grand master incarnate Rinpoche, who is the master of the world and the knower of all things. And we go, wow, this person must be fantastic. They're going to be my teacher.
Ya, kita dengar ya, oh ini Rinpoche ini hebat inkarnasi ini, guru agung ini, wah keren banget. Guru orang ini pasti adalah guru saya.
If you look on, at the other hand, at people who really have the qualities taught in the scriptures of an authentic spiritual master, they are not like that.
Kalau Anda lihat ya, orang-orang yang punya kualitas mengajarkan dharma yang otentik, mereka tidak seperti itu.
Okay, you look at His Holiness the Dalai Lama. Yeah, he says, I'm a simple Buddhist monk.
Dalai Lama mengatakan, saya hanya seorang biksu Buddha yang sederhana.
Yeah. He doesn't say, well, everybody says I'm an incarnation of Kuan Yin Shenrezi, so, you know, bow down to me and I will grant you a blessing.
Dalai Lama tidak mengatakan, lihat saya ini incarnasi Shenrezi, cepat sujud ya, nanti saya kasih berkah.
He just says, I'm a simple Buddhist monk, that's it.
Dia mengatakan, saya hanya seorang biksu Buddhis sederhana. Itu saja.
So very important, you know, to look at things closely and investigate.
Penting sekali kita melihatnya dari dekat dan menginvestigasi, meneliti.
And again, not to mix the Dharma up with all sorts of other things.
Dan tidak mencampur-adukkan Dharma dengan hal-hal yang lain.
Oh, like we're teaching the Dharma, but we're also going to teach rebirthing, and we're also going to, you know, looking for your past lives, and we're also going to teach crystals, and we're also going to teach feng shui, and we're also going to teach, you know, whatever it is, yeah? And then we get, then what my teacher says is we make soup.
Soup,
you know, soup. You put carrots, potatoes, many different things. So we make spiritual soup. You know, we have the Dharma. Oh, then we put in this and that and the other thing, and stir it up, and we make up our own Dharma.
Dan jadi penting sekali kita mengetahui Dharma itu tidak diajarkan campur ya dengan feng shui, dengan kristal, dengan regresi kehidupan lampau. Artinya nanti kita punya soup Dharma.
Then you market it. Special deal for you, $10.99. $9.99, you know, special price for you, enroll in this special class.
Kamu dikasih penawaran nanti ikut kelas khusus, nanti buat kamu ada harga khususnya.
Okay.
Jelas ya.
I remember one of my teachers, he's passed away, but when he would walk down the street in Dharamsala, India, you would not know that he was a great practitioner. He always, his robes were always very old. He had a few whiskers sticking out. His socks were falling down. His shoes were very dirty and you know, falling apart. And you wouldn't even notice him. Who's that? But he was an incredible master, really incredible teacher.
Saya ingat salah satu guru beliau ya, kalau keluar dalam perjalanan di dalam sala itu pakai jubahnya yang sudah lusuh, kaus kakinya longgar, sepatunya sudah kotor, ada kumisan coklat kemana-mana. Kalau dia jalan, orang akan bilang siapa dia. Tapi beliau adalah seorang guru yang sangat luar biasa.
He was invited to Italy. And I was at the Italian Center when he arrived. we made him a nice high Dharma seat, and he walked in there for his first teaching, and he took the cushion off the seat and put it on the floor. It was a big throne, you know.
Ya, jadi tradisi di Belanda itu kan dikasih singgasana yang tinggi. Jadi ketika gurunya diundang ke Italia, tiba pertama kali, jadi tempat duduknya bantalnya dibuat turun dan dia duduk di lantai.
The Italians in his home, they gave him, you know, crystal and china dishes and silverware, and he went in there the first day and he said, get rid of this stuff and bring me plastic plates and bowls.
Diundang makan kan ya, sediain peralatan yang mahal ya, kristal, siapa perak. Ketika tiba, bilang ambil aja, kasih saya cuma piring plastik aja.
Okay, let's go on to the next verse. Okay, we're on, we talked about verse 8, didn't we? So, verse 9. Like dew on the tip of a blade of grass, pleasures of the three worlds last only a while and then vanish. Aspire to the never-changing supreme state of liberation. This is the practice of bodhisattvas.
Seperti embun yang bergulir di ujung daun, kenikmatan dari tiga alam hanya berselang sebentar dan hilang dalam sekejap. Kebebasan tertinggi tak pernah berubah, arahkan tujuanmu pada hal ini. Inilah praktik para bodhisattva.
Okay, so the verses prior to this were aimed at helping us set a basic foundation in the Buddhist teachings.
Ayat-ayat sebelum ini membantu kita membuat motivasi ya di ajaran Buddha.
Understanding precious human life, impermanence and death, refuge, karma.
Memahami kelahiran mulia sebagai manusia, memahami ketidakpastian dan kematian, memahami tentang tiga perlindungan dan memahami karma.
And the goal of that was to get us to care about our future life.
Tujuannya agar kita peduli kepada kehidupan kita yang mendatang.
And to start keeping good ethical conduct as a way to create the causes for having a good future life.
Dan mulai kita hati-hati dengan perilaku moral sebagai sebab untuk kehidupan mendatang.
Because if we're going, although awakening is our long-term motivation, it's going to take us many lifetimes to attain awakening.
Jika pencerahan itu adalah tujuan jangka panjang kita, kita butuh waktu yang sangat panjang ya sampai kita tiba mencapai pencerahan.
So in order to be able to practice and create the causes for full awakening, we need to have a series of precious human lives or rebirth in a pure land in order to have all the conducive circumstances to be able to practice.
Ya, agar kita bisa mencapai tujuan panjang jangka panjang ini, kita mesti punya kelahiran yang mulia yang berharga yang mendukung kita untuk bisa melakukan praktek pelatihan yang lengkap.
If we are born, let's say, as an animal in the next life, very difficult to practice the Dharma.
Jika kita lahir sebagai hewan, sulit sekali untuk bisa berpraktek dharma.
We have cats at the abbey. Yeah, they have heard many dharma teachings. Yeah.
Ada banyak kucing ya di abbey dan mereka banyak sekali mendengar ajaran dharma.
But when we tell them not to kill insects or to chase mice, they look at us like.
Kucingnya dikasih tahu. Jadi si kucing itu kalau disuruh jangan ngejar tikus atau bunuh semut, dia cuma menatap dan meow-meow.
So there is just a case of they had very good karma in terms of having practiced generosity because they live in a very comfortable environment, they have food and they are pampered. But they did not create the cause to have a good rebirth by keeping ethical conduct So therefore they were born as cats.
Jadi kucing itu punya karma yang baik, ya, karena kekurangan hati mereka lahir di tempat yang baik, punya makanan dan dirawat, tapi karena tidak menjaga moralitas ya, mereka terlahir sebagai kucing.
So verse 9 is going on to the next level of practice, because the previous ones were designed to help us want to plan for a good rebirth in the future. With this verse, we're now upping it a little bit, and we want to increase our motivation to wanting to attain liberation and be free of all of cyclic existence.
Jadi kalau yang pertama itu membuat kita menyiapkan diri, dan level pertama kita naik level kedua, di mana kita sudah beraspirasi untuk mencapai kebebasan dan untuk bisa menyiapkan diri untuk bisa mencapai membebaskan diri dari lingkaran kelahiran berulang.
And so this involves seeing that all of samsara, even if you're born in an upper realm and a good rebirth, at the end is unsatisfactory, because it is transient.
Meskipun ini mengingatkan kita bahwa meskipun Anda dilahir di salah satu alam yang menyenangkan, tetap saja itu samsara dan sifatnya itu sementara.
Okay. So like the dew on a tip of blade of grass, you know, the dew is there in the morning and it's there and then it evaporates. So in the
seperti embun yang ada di ujung daun. Ya, tadi pagi ada, tapi sekarang sudah lenyap.
In the same way, the pleasures of the three worlds, in other words, our desire realm, the form realm, the formless realm, wherever you're born in samsara, all these pleasures are here and gone.
Jadi semua kesenangan di tiga alam, ya, alam berbentuk, alam tidak berbentuk, satu alam lagi, itu semuanya itu hilang, ya, semua pasti hilang.
So in that way we see they're nice, but they're not reliable.
Kondisi di alam itu menyenangkan, tapi tidak, kita tidak bisa bergantung kepadanya.
Okay. We've had a lot of delicious meals that we've enjoyed, but where are they now?
Mana semua makanan lezat yang pernah kita nikmati?
Okay. We've had a lot of pleasure in our life, but all that pleasure now doesn't exist. It's like last night's dream.
Jadi semua kondisi menyenangkan yang kita pernah nikmati sekarang kemana semua? Seperti mimpi tadi malam saja.
So because these things last only a while and then they vanish, you know, there's no sense in making them the purpose of our life or in being attached to them.
Karena semua itu akan hilang, maka tidak ada gunanya kita menjadikan itu sebagai tujuan hidup kita atau bahkan melekat ya, kepada mereka.
And so it is advised here that we aspire to the never-changing supreme state of liberation. This is the practice of bodhisattvas.
Oleh sebab itu dikatakan kita mengarahkan tujuan kita ya, kepada kondisi pembebasan yang tertinggi. Itulah praktek para bodhisattva.
So liberation is a state in which all of the ignorance, anger, and clinging attachment have been completely removed and can never appear again.
Pembebasan di mana kita punya pemberkatan, kemarahan, kecemburuan, semua sudah dihilangkan dan tidak akan kembali lagi.
So when there's no more ignorance, anger, and attachment in our mind, then we stop creating the karma that causes us to be born again and again and again.
Saat kita sudah tidak ada lagi pemelekatan, ketidakpahaman, kemarahan di dalam pikiran kita, kita mencegah penyebab kita lahir kembali di alam samsara secara berulang-ulang.
So liberation is a never-changing state, because once you attain liberation and become an arhat, you never are going to have suffering again. It's impossible because all the causes of suffering have been eliminated.
Saat Anda telah mencapai pembebasan, Anda telah mencapai arhat, dan tidak mungkin lagi Anda akan menimbulkan sebab-sebab baru, kondisi baru di samsara atau duka karena Anda telah menghapuskan semua penyebabnya.
Okay. So then if we go on to the next verse, okay, verse 10 says, when your mothers who've loved you since time without beginning are suffering, what use is your own happiness? Therefore, to free limitless living beings, develop the altruistic intention. This is the practice of bodhisattvas.
Saat ibu anda yang mengasihi anda sejak masa tak berujung sedang menderita, apalah gunanya kebahagiaan anda sendiri? Oleh sebab itu, untuk membebaskan makhluk hidup yang tak terhingga, binalah semangat altruistik. Inilah praktik para bodhisattva.
So this verse is upping our motivation a little bit more.
Bayat ini membuat kita meninggikan lebih sedikit motivasi kita.
So remember, our first motivation was for a good rebirth. Then we increased our practice to aspire for liberation. Now we're increasing it more to aspire for full awakening.
Ya, jadi pertama adalah kita punya setting motivasi, kita ingin mencapai kebebasan, sekarang kita ingin mencapai kelahiran lebih baik. Next, langkah berikutnya adalah untuk pengudahan sempurna, pencerahan sempurna.
So, what is the difference between liberation and full awakening?
Apa beda ya, kebebasan dan pengudahan sempurna?
Okay. When we attain liberation, we have eliminated the mental afflictions, ignorance, anger, attachment, and other mental afflictions from our mind stream, and we've stopped the karma that creates rebirth in samsara.
Pembebasan itu berarti kita telah menghapus semua kilesa ya, dan kita menghentikan kelahiran berulang di samsara.
We become an arhat, and at that time, after leaving this body, stay in a state of very blissful meditative equipoise on the nature of reality.
Kita mencapai kondisi di mana setelah kita meninggalkan tubuh ini, kita menikmati sebuah kondisi menyenangkan di hakikat alam.
So that state is very blissful and wonderful and we're free of samsara. But what about everybody else?
Kondisi sangat menyenangkan, sangat membahagiakan, bebas dari samsara. Tapi bagaimana dengan makhluk-makhluk yang lain?
So the full awakening is based on having the wish to eliminate not only the mental afflictions from our mind, but also the subtle cognitive obscurations from our mind.
Ya, jadi pembebasan, jadi pengukuhan sempurna itu bukan hanya menghapuskan kilesa itu, tapi sebuah kesadaran yang sangat halus yang ada di dalam pikiran kita.
And we do this for the benefit of sentient beings, so we can become a fully awakened Buddha.
Kita melakukannya demi semua makhluk agar kita bisa menjadi Buddha yang terbuka sempurna.
And the Buddha has qualities that an arhat does not have.
Buddha punya kualitas yang tidak dimiliki oleh arhat.
Okay, because a Buddha is omniscient and knows all knowable objects.
Buddha itu pikiran yang maha tahu dan mengetahui segala objek.
And a Buddha has compassion that cherishes others more than themselves.
Buddha punya welas asih yang mengasihi orang lain daripada dirinya sendiri, lebih dari dirinya sendiri.
And Buddhas are committed, even after they've attained liberation, to manifest in our world in order to teach and guide us so that we can get out of cyclic existence.
Buddha berkomitmen meskipun dia telah mencapai kebebasan untuk mengajar di alam ini kepada kita semua agar kita bisa bebas dari lingkaran kelahiran berulang.
So while arhat, becoming an arhat and attaining liberation is very admirable, you're not able to benefit all sentient beings in the same way.
Meskipun menjadi arhat itu sesuatu yang sangat mengagumkan, tapi kita tidak bisa memberi manfaat untuk setiap makhluk dengan cara yang sama seperti yang bisa dilakukan dia.
There's still some subtle preoccupation thinking my liberation is more important than others.
Masih ada sebuah niat apa pikirannya halus sekali bahwa kebebasan saya itu jauh lebih penting daripada orang lain, kebebasan orang lain.
Whereas a bodhisattva aspires for full awakening, you know, in order to be of the greatest benefit to all beings.
Sedangkan aspirasi bodhisattva adalah untuk mencapai kemuliaan sempurna demi membawa manfaat untuk semua makhluk.
And that bodhisattva will become a Buddha, fully awakened.
Bodhisattva akan menjadi Buddha yang terbuka atau secara sempurna.
So this verse number 10, I find very how to put it? It really wakes me up.
Ayat bait 10 ini sungguh-sungguh menyadarkan saya, membuka mata saya.
And it pulls me out of my complacency.
Dan ini membuat saya jadi terbungkah ya, atas kenyamanan saya.
Because, like we said in the motivation, you know, all sentient beings have been our parents in previous lives and have been kind to us.
Seperti kita katakan di motivasi kita bahwa setiap makhluk itu pernah menjadi ibu kita dan baik pada kita.
They look different in this life because they have a different body, but still, in the sense of being in the same mental continuum, we are not strangers from them. We've known them before.
Tubuhnya saja berbeda, tapi karena kita ada di arus mental yang sama, sebenarnya kita, mereka tidak berbeda dari kita. Kita punya hubungan dengan mereka.
So, if you take the example even of your mother of this life, or anybody who's been kind to you in this life, if that person is in a state of, you know, great misery, are you going to just kind of walk out on them and say, you know, I want my own personal liberation and good luck?
Contohnya ibu Anda atau orang-orang yang baik pada Anda, jika kondisi mereka sedang menitikkan, apakah Anda akan pergi untuk pembebasan Anda sendiri dan semoga kamu beruntung. Kita mengatakan semoga kamu beruntung kepada mereka.
So here when it says, when there's suffering, what use is your own happiness? Happiness here refers specifically to your own liberation, where you abide in that blissful meditative equipoise.
Di sini dikatakan jika mereka berduka, menderita, apa gunanya kebahagiaan Anda? Kebahagiaan di sini maksud adalah kondisi menyenangkan. Ya. Kita berdiam dalam kondisi yang sangat, sangat, sangat gembira, sangat bahagia.
It also applies to just us enjoying ourselves in a worldly way at the expense of other living beings who are miserable.
Ini juga berarti apakah kita menikmati kegembiraan di dunia di atas biaya atau kerja keras makhluk-makhluk lain.
And so I think as Buddhists, in addition to our spiritual practice, we also, out of compassion, have responsibility in society to work for the benefit of others and try and improve our society.
Dan sebagai seorang Buddhis, kita juga diminta untuk bekerja melayani masyarakat dan meningkatkan kualitas di masyarakat.
So, for example, if you look in Myanmar, what is happening with the Rohingya people? The attitude of the Buddhists is completely against what the Buddha taught.
Kalau kita lihat kasus Myanmar dengan Rohingya, sikap orang Myanmar itu, sikap masyarakat Buddhis di sana sangat bertolak belakang dengan apa yang Buddha ajarkan.
Because the Buddha taught all sentient beings have been kind to us, we need to repay that kindness. We do not repay kindness by putting people in camps or forcing them onto wooden boats to go float out in the middle of the ocean.
Tidak mengajarkan kita membalas kebaikan semua makhluk, tapi bekerja dengan menempatkan mereka di dan mengungsi dan mengusir mereka naik kapal, itu bukan cara membalas kebaikan mereka.
Okay, so we should try as much as possible as Buddhists to have a very open mind towards other living beings.
Sebagai Buddhis, sebisa mungkin kita membuka pikiran kita kepada semua makhluk.
And even though we may not share the same opinions about different things, we can still respect these people.
meskipun pendapat kita berbeda, tapi kita tetap bisa menghormati orang-orang tersebut.
We can still have compassion for them.
Kita masih bisa punya belas kasih kepada mereka.
Okay. To give you one example, you probably don't know much about U.S. politics, which is just as good.
Untuk contoh yang mungkin Anda tidak terlalu tahu tentang politik di Amerika, yang tentu saja ini bagus.
But there are certain politicians in my country that I think are harming the people.
Tapi ada politisi tertentu di negara saya yang menyakiti orang-orang.
And sometimes I look at what they say and I go, how could anybody think like that?
Saya melihat apa yang mereka katakan, saya bingung. Kok ada sih orang bisa ngomong seperti itu?
But at the same time, I respect them as living beings, and I see that their minds are overwhelmed by ignorance.
Saat saya melihat mereka juga sebagai makhluk biasa, saya tahu ya pikiran mereka itu dipenuhi oleh kekeliruan.
And so when I do prostrations, we do a lot of bowing in the Tibetan tradition. I imagine the whole U.S. Congress all around me, and everybody is bowing to the Buddha.
Saat saya melakukan sujud hormat di tradisi Tibet, banyak sekali sujud hormat. Saya membayangkan seluruh anggota Kongres Amerika ikut bersujud kepada Buddha bersama saya.
So this is my way of still maintaining compassion and, you know, wanting the best for them. And maybe one lifetime they will actually bow to the Buddha.
Ini cara saya berbelas kasih kepada mereka. Dan mungkin saja di satu kehidupan mereka sesungguhnya pernah bersujud kepada Buddha.
Okay. So this verse is saying, you know, when your mothers have loved you from time without beginning, so we've received so much kindness from each and every living being. How can we then say my liberation is more important? And just go about our practice and not try and lead them to liberation as well.
Ya, di sini dikatakan semua ibu kita begitu baik ya. Sejak masa tak berawal, bagaimana mungkin kita hanya bisa memikirkan pembebasan kita sendiri saja tanpa melibatkan, tanpa peduli kepada mereka. Kita mesti berusaha juga untuk bisa melibatkan mereka juga, membebaskan mereka juga.
And for that, you know, when we look, we aren't even liberated ourselves yet. So how can we be reliable guides?
Kalau kita lihat lagi, kita juga belum sungguh-sungguh bebas. Bagaimana kita bisa menjadi panduan yang bisa diandalkan?
We can help sentient beings according to our own level of spiritual development, but if we attain Buddhahood, we can help them so much more.
Kita bisa membantu makhluk dengan bahwa hidup dengan kemampuan kita, tapi jika kita bisa menjadi Buddha, kita bisa lebih banyak membantu, menolong.
Therefore, to free limitless living beings, countless living beings, we aspire for supreme awakening.
Oleh sebab itu, untuk bisa membebaskan makhluk yang tak terhitung banyaknya, kita beraspirasi untuk mencapai kebebasan.
And we do this with an altruistic intention that sees other living beings as kind, that sees them as having the Buddha nature, the potential to become fully awakened.
Kita lakukan ini dengan niat altruistik bahwa setiap makhluk itu baik dan mereka punya potensi untuk juga mencapai kebugaran sempurna.
So this kind of compassion is very different than feeling sorry for somebody.
Belas kasih ini beda ya dengan merasa kasihan kepada orang lain.
Okay, this is an important point. When we have compassion, as the Buddha taught it, we are equal. We see ourselves as equal to sentient beings. Their suffering and their happiness is just as important as my suffering and my happiness.
Berbalas kasih itu berarti kita setara ya. Kebahagiaan dan duka mereka sama pentingnya dengan kebahagiaan dan duka saya sendiri.
Whereas feeling sorry for somebody or pitying them means that we place ourselves above others and we look down.
Kalau kasihan itu kita ada di atas orang lain dan kita memandang rendah ke bawah.
I am a great Dharma practitioner. Oh, you poor person. You have so much anger. You have so much selfishness. I feel sorry for you, poor person. You idiot.
Saya ini seorang praktisi Dharma yang hebat. Kamu kasihan, banyak kemarahan. Praktisi yang payah, kasihan ya.
Yeah. So that is not compassion. That is condescension.
Itu bukan ulas kasih ya.
Because we're putting a power differential. I'm supreme and better than you.
Kita perbedaan ya. Saya lebih hebat. Kamu.
Okay. The Buddha's sage Shantideva gave a very good example of how a bodhisattva and a Buddha views the suffering of others, and this illustrates very well the difference between compassion and feeling sorry or pitying someone.
Buddha Shantideva memberikan sebuah ilustrasi yang sangat baik yang akan menjelaskan perbedaan antara welas asih dan merasa kasihan.
Okay. If you step on a thorn, you know, if you have a thorn in your foot, your hand automatically reaches down and pulls out the thorn.
Kalau Anda saat tidak sengaja menginjak duri, Anda akan langsung, tangan Anda otomatis akan mencabut duri tersebut.
Okay, and then life goes on.
Itu pun terus berlalu.
Okay, the hand doesn't look at the foot and say, oh God, there you go again, foot. You stepped on another thorn. You know, I'm the great and glorious hand, and I will come and save you yet once again from your foolishness.
Jadi si tangan ini merasa hebat ya. Tangan ini merasa aduh, kaki. Sekali lagi kamu itu nginjak duri, sekali lagi kamu itu kasihan banget. Saya akan menyelamatkan diri kamu.
So I'm being so kind to you, foot. You better remember it and praise me, and you owe me a favor.
Saya baik sekali sama kamu ya, kaki. Jadi kamu harus ingat kebaikan saya. Kamu harus baik sama saya dan kamu harus memuji saya.
Okay. The hand doesn't do that, does it?
Tangan kan nggak kayak gitu.
Yeah. Why not?
Mengapa?
Because the hand and the foot see themselves as part of the same living organism.
Tangan dan kaki melihat dirinya sebagai bagian yang sama dari organisme yang hidup.
They realize that their happiness depends on each other.
Mereka sadar kebahagiaan mereka saling bergantung.
That if the foot is suffering because of a thorn, it's also the responsibility of the hand to help the foot.
Karena jika kakinya sakit, kaki sakit karena duri, itu juga tanggung jawab tangan untuk membantu si kaki.
And if the hand gets cut, it's the responsibility of the foot to take it to the doctor to get it bandaged.
Kalau tangan terluka, tanggung jawab kaki untuk berjalan menuju ke dokter untuk tangannya disembuhkan.
So if this is a mind at which we can look out at other living beings and think they want happiness and to avoid suffering as intensely as I do.
Ini pikiran ya, kondisi cinta yang melihat setiap makhluk ingin bahagia dan tidak ingin berduka sama seperti saya.
And there's no reason to cherish myself more than cherishing them.
Tidak ada alasan untuk lebih menyayangi diri saya dibandingkan mereka.
Especially considering that they've been kind to me in many previous lives.
Khususnya jika kita renungkan, mereka telah baik pada saya dalam kehidupan sebelumnya.
Okay, so I should work for their benefit, and the best way to do this is to become a Buddha who has all the ability to benefit others.
Dan salah satu cara terbaik untuk melakukan itu, membalasnya adalah dengan menjadi Buddha yang punya kemampuan sempurna untuk membawa manfaat bagi semua makhluk.
Okay. So here we have three levels of motivation.
Di sini kita punya tiga tingkat motivasi.
Okay. The motivation to have a good rebirth.
Motivasi untuk kelahiran yang baik, kelahiran berikutnya yang baik.
When we up that a little bit, it's the motivation to be free of all of cyclic existence. And when we up that, then it's wanting to attain full awakening in order to be of great benefit to others.
Tingkat berikutnya adalah ingin mencapai kemudahan, pencerahan sempurna untuk membawa manfaat bagi semua makhluk.
Okay. So, depending what level of the practice you're on, or what level of motivation you have, you emphasize different things in your practice.
Tergantung tingkat motivasi Anda, maka Anda akan memberikan penekanan yang berbeda untuk latihan Anda.
So we can still have the long-term motivation of wanting full awakening, but emphasize the practice of keeping good ethical conduct in order to attain a precious human life.
Kita bisa saja punya aspirasi jangka panjang untuk mencapai kemunggahan, tapi kita tetap mempertahankan perilaku moral agar kita punya kelahiran berikutnya yang baik.
Okay. We can still have the attitude of bodhicitta, wanting to attain full awakening, and do the practice of the three higher trainings of ethical conduct, concentration, and wisdom, which is what leads to liberation.
Kita juga bisa punya bodhicitta yang mencapai kemunggahan tertinggi, tapi kita bisa fokus kepada tiga praktek utama sila samadhi dan panya untuk mencapai kebebasan.
And then when we actually generate bodhicitta, then we do the bodhisattva practice, which is the six paramitas.
Jika kita sudah menumbuhkan bodhicitta, kita berlatih praktek bodhisattva, yaitu enam paramita.
Okay, so the perfections of generosity, ethical conduct, fortitude, joyous effort, meditative stability, and wisdom.
Kita berlatih enam paramita, kemurahan hati, moralitas, kesabaran, wirya, samadhi, dan pencapaian kebijaksanaan.
Okay, so this way of systematizing the Buddha's teachings into three levels of motivation is very helpful for understanding the broader scope of Buddhism and where the Buddha is gradually leading us to.
Jadi memahami tiga tahapan ini membuat kita semakin mengerti skop-skop ya dan tingkat-tingkatan ruang lingkup dan kemana arah agama Buddha itu membawa kita, menuntun kita.
So when I came to Indonesia, some people told me that they have many teachers, Dharma teachers coming here, but they don't have consistent Dharma teachings over a period of time for like on a text. So they get one teacher teaches this, one teacher teaches that, one teacher teaches the other thing. They're all teaching the Dharma, but different aspects. And so as a result, they get confused. What do I practice?
Pertama kali beliau datang ke Indonesia diceritakan ya, karena Indonesia tidak punya akar agama Buddha, jadi guru satu datang mengajar ini, guru dua mengajar ini, guru tiga mengajar ini, dan semuanya aspeknya berbeda-beda sehingga banyak orang bingung saya mau berlatih atau mau praktikan yang mana.
Okay, this one says to develop shamatha, this one says to chant Amitabha, this one says to meditate on love and compassion, that one says to meditate on the Four Noble Truths, the other one says to develop wisdom. These are all the Buddha's teachings, but I don't understand how they all fit together.
Setiap guru datang ada beda-beda, satu bilang samatha, mitabha, ajar empat kenyataan arya, memeditasikan yang lain, tapi saya bingung bagaimana saya bisa ya, menyatukan mereka semua.
Do any of you have that problem?
Anda punya masalah itu enggak?
Oh, nobody has that problem? The other people from Indonesia who told me just talked about themselves, it doesn't apply to anybody else. One person's nodding their head. Anybody else have this problem?
Ada yang lain punya masalah yang sama?
Three?
Yeah.
4, 5, okay, oh, a few more of you are beginning to tell the truth, yeah, it's important to be truthful and not cover up. Okay, so when you understand these three levels of motivation and which practices to emphasize in each one, then when you hear a certain teaching, you'll know where it belongs.
Kalau Anda tahu tiga tahapan ini dan tahu tiap tahapan ini pendekatannya kemana, saat Anda mendengar sebuah ajaran, Anda tahu ini ajaran ini ada di tingkat yang mana.
Okay. So if somebody comes and teaches you metta meditation, you know, oh, that belongs, you know, in the part of the third practice, you know, to develop loving kindness. But even though I'm a beginner, I can still meditate on it because if I develop loving kindness, it will help me not create so much negative karma, which will help me to have a good rebirth.
Jadi kalau diajarin metta bhavana, Anda tahu bahwa ini posisi di sini. Meskipun saya pemula, saya masih bisa belajar metta bhavana karena ini membantu saya menghilangkan hal-hal negatif dan ini membantu saya bisa mencapai kelahiran berikutnya yang lebih baik.
Oh, okay. So then when a teacher comes and let's say says teaches about ethical conduct, then we know that that applies actually to all three levels of practice because ethical conduct helps us to attain a good future life. It's also one of the three higher trainings that helps us get out of samsara, and it's also one of the paramitas that helps us attain full awakening.
Jadi kalau ada guru yang mengajarkan tentang sila, kita tahu itu ada di tiap level tersebut, karena dengan sila kita akan membantu kelahiran lebih baik, juga membantu untuk mencapai pembebasan, dan juga merupakan salah satu bagian dari paramita yang akan membantu kita untuk mencapai penggugahan sempurna.
So here we see just how essential to the path ethical conduct is.
Oleh sebab itu kita bisa melihat bagaimana sila itu sangat penting ya.
Okay. And so then, you know, if we if somebody comes and teaches us the Amitabha practice, then we know that that also is part of the higher scope, you know, to attain full awakening, but it also applies to the lower motivation. Because if we can be reborn in Amitabha's pure land, that's also very good for attaining awakening.
Ya, jadi kalau yang ngajarin Amitabha Sutra berarti ada di dua tempat. Yang satu adalah skup yang paling tinggi, karena untuk makhluk lain, atau juga di level yang paling bawah, karena untuk pelayanan lebih baik.
Yeah. And if a teacher teaches you about shamatha or vipassana, yeah, about meditative serenity and developing wisdom, you know that pertains to the second level and to the third level of motivation.
Kalau yang mengajarinya samatha dan vipassana, ya kita tahu bahwa ajaran itu ada di level kedua dan level ketiga.
Okay, so this understanding of the three levels is really very helpful for knowing how the teachings fit together.
Jadi mengetahui tiga tingkatan ini membantu sekali biar kita tahu ya ajaran-ajaran ini adanya di tingkat yang mana.
So let's pause here. You may have some questions or comments.
Ya, silakan jika ada pertanyaan dan komentar. Mr. Manny, please.
Okay.
Venerable, to your point, you mentioned the Rohingya issue today.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of in relation to the discussion on anger yesterday, I've been thinking a lot about how to respond to these issues of injustice, not only around the world, but where we live, with an open heart. And in a way that, I mean, of course, it's good to include in our practice and our aspirations, but also in a way that leads to change now.
That's okay. I'm going to summarize it.
Okay. I've been thinking how to cultivate that motivation to also act.
Jadi, Mami bicara tentang, Venerable bicara tentang bagaimana menerapkan yang tadi ya, yang urusannya dengan bukan cuma di dalam tapi di luar. Terus pertanyaannya bagaimana kita bisa menerapkannya dalam perilaku kita sehari-hari. Cuma
sure.
Jadi,
basically, how do we act?
Bagaimana kita
issues of injustice.
Bagaimana kita bertindak berperilaku untuk mengatasi hal-hal yang hubungannya dengan ketidakadilan sosial.
Okay. So this is an important question for all of us. Yeah.
Ini pertanyaan yang penting untuk kita pahami semuanya.
Okay. So yesterday we were talking a bit about balance. Here's where balance is important.
Kemarin kita bicara sedikit tentang keseimbangan. Di sinilah pentingnya sebuah keseimbangan.
Because we need to reach out and do what we can to help now. We also need to make sure that our motivation stays very clear and that our dharma practice is very strong.
Kita harus menjangkau keluar, tapi kita juga harus tahu bahwa motivasi kita sangat jelas dan praktik dharma kita itu cukup kuat.
Okay. Because if we go out to if we don't do any social work at all, we might become a little bit complacent.
Jika kita tidak melakukan apapun keluar, maka kita akan sedikit egois atau berpuas diri saja dengan diri kita.
Yeah. Here I'm talking generally. Of course, there's going to be people who are at points in the path where they really need to do a solitary retreat and full-time practice. So right now I'm not talking about those people.
Ya, ini secara umum saja. Tentu saja ada orang-orang yang perlu untuk masuk retret penyunyian yang sangat sangat hening. Yang di sini saya tidak membahas orang-orang seperti itu. Bukan mereka yang saya maksud.
Okay, I'm talking about the rest of us.
Saya maksudkan adalah ya sisanya ya, kebanyakan dari kita.
Okay, so we need to reach out and do what we can to help, but it's very important to maintain a very firm and stable dharma practice when we're doing this. Otherwise, there's the risk that we get angry or we get discouraged.
Jadi kita perlu menjangkau keluar, tapi kita juga harus kuat dalam praktek kita. Jika tidak, kita bisa akan muncul kemarahan dan kita akan kehilangan semangat.
So we need to repeatedly do these meditations to develop love and compassion and bodhicitta, so that we are able to maintain respect for all living beings and to maintain an optimistic attitude that all living beings can be freed of misery.
Kita juga harus terus mengembangkan bodhicitta kita, cinta welas asih dan keyakinan bahwa sebenarnya sesungguhnya setiap makhluk itu bisa dibebaskan.
Also, in our dharma practice, when we meditate on the second level, where we really examine the faults of cyclic existence, then we come to understand that cyclic existence is never going to be peaceful and free of problems.
Kita memedikasikan tingkat kedua, kita harus menyadari bahwa lingkaran kelahiran itu tidak akan pernah damai dan selalu akan mendatangkan masalah.
Yeah. Why? Because the very definition of cyclic existence is taking rebirth under the influence of ignorance, anger, and attachment. So as long as we or the people around us have ignorance, anger, and attachment, there's going to be problems. There's going to be suffering. It's a given.
Karena kelahiran berulang itu kan disebabkan oleh kilesa kita ya. Artinya selama masih ada kilesa, maka itu akan menimbulkan kekacauan, menimbulkan persoalan.
Okay, but that doesn't mean that we just say, well, it's all samsara, so I won't try and help others. That's also a wrong way of thinking.
Karena itu samsara, dari sana sifatnya begitu, pasti duka, kita juga gak bisa bilang. Ya, memang begitu dari sananya. Dan saya tidak perlu melakukan apapun. Bukan begitu sifat kita.
Because suffering arises due to causes.
Duka muncul karena sebab.
Okay. And so some of those causes are karmic. Some of those causes might be economic, or in terms of social structure, or political.
Karena duka atau penderitaan muncul sebagian karena karma, sebagian karena politik dan karena ekonomi juga.
Okay, so we work to on both levels to help sentient beings be free of the karmic causes by reducing their ignorance, anger, and attachment. But we also work on the social level to stop injustice that causes really unnecessary suffering.
Kita bekerja di dua tingkat, ya. Di tingkat yang satu adalah di tingkatan karma, membantu makhluk-makhluk mengurangi kilesa mereka. Di tingkat satu lagi kita bekerja untuk mengurangi penderitaan disebabkan oleh ketidakadilan sosial yang menyebabkan penderitaan yang sesungguhnya tidak perlu.
So we do our best to help on a social, economic, political level, but we don't have the expectation that we're going to make a totally beautiful, peaceful world that is free of ignorance, anger, and attachment simply by changing social structures and economic systems.
Jadi kita bekerja, artinya gini, waktu kita tidak mungkin bisa menciptakan dunia benar-benar bebas dari kilesa saat kita berusaha memperbaiki hal-hal yang disebabkan oleh ketidakadilan sosial dan struktur sosial di masyarakat.
Okay, so when you have the Dharma view of things, then you can help on the social level. You don't get mad at other people because you recognize they're under the influence of ignorance and karma. Yeah, you don't expect everything to be perfect, but you do know that causes can be changed, and when causes are changed, people can have less suffering and more happiness. And you do know that everybody has the Buddha nature, and so you respect everybody.
Karena setiap orang punya kebudayaan, kita menghormati semua orang, dan kita tahu bahwa. Do you mind to repeat the very first one?
Yeah, there's a lot in there, huh? Okay, so what was the first point? Yeah, as I was saying it, I was going, I should break this up, but I didn't. So you know that, what was the first thing I said?
I guess I tried.
Okay, I'll repeat something, you know. But so we approach it with the knowledge that some of the causes of suffering can be changed. Yeah.
Jadi beberapa sifat penyebab duka itu bisa berubah.
Okay, and we can change those, but we don't the cultural, sociological, economic, political ones we can change, but we recognize that it's never going to be a perfect world.
Jadi kita sadar ya, penyebab-penyebab duka itu ekonomik, sosial bisa diubah, tapi kita sadar bahwa dunia ini tidak akan menjadi dunia yang sempurna.
So definitely out of compassion we should help.
Karena berdasarkan welas asihlah kita perlu membantu.
Okay, and we don't get mad at the other people who are, doing illegal things or have political views we disagree with or who are very selfish and taking the money for themselves. We don't get angry at them, but we can still work to change the structure and make sure that things are fair.
Kita tidak perlu marah pada orang-orang yang menjadi penyebabnya, mereka mengambil uang, mereka, tapi kita tidak perlu marah sama mereka. Orang-orang menjadi penyebabnya, tapi kita bisa mencoba berupaya mengubah sesuatu yang menyebabkan dunia menjadi tidak adil.
Okay. And we respect everybody because they all have the Buddha potential.
Kita hormati semua orang karena mereka punya potensi kebudayaan.
But at the same time, in our hearts, we know that the real way to eliminate suffering so that it will never reappear is by helping living beings overcome ignorance, anger, attachment, and polluted karma.
Kita tahu bahwa satu-satunya cara untuk membantu semua makhluk agar tidak lagi mencapai dukkha adalah dengan membantu mereka membebaskan diri dari kilesa mereka.
And so for that reason, practicing dharma is important.
Oleh sebab itu, berpraktek dharma itu sangatlah penting.
Make some sense?
So it's for the practitioners of Avalokiteshvara and Amitabha, it is believed that they are in the pure land. They are living in the pure land. This is the belief. There are certain traditions that only puja to Amitabha so that they can born in the pure land.
You mean you're saying that right now we're living in the pure land?
No, I mean the practice. The people believe that if they do puja to Amitabha and they will be born in the pure land.
Pure land, okay.
Jadi mengenai puja-puja yang lain dan mereka hanya puja Amitabha, bahkan puja Konkin juga tidak, karena walaupun mereka Konkin dan Amitabha kan masih dalam pure land, tapi mereka tidak
muja Konkin.
Nah, tidak memuja Konkin.
Cuman Amitabha doang. Lahir nggak di situ. So it is believed that both Kuan Yin and Amitabha live in the pure land, but some people only do puja to Amitabha without doing it to the Kuan Yin.
Yeah.
So what's your opinion on this?
So do you think Kuan Yin is gonna have hurt feelings? Oh, everybody, they do puja to Amitabha. They give him apples and oranges. They don't give me anything. I'm not going to help them. You think Kuan Yin thinks like that?
Jadi gini, Su. Kuan Yin-nya cemburu enggak? Semua orang puja Amitabha, dikasih apel, dikasih orange juice. Kalau saya enggak, kata Kuan Yin. Kuan Yin-nya cemburu enggak?
Ya, maksud saya...
So it's not...
So what do you think? Pandangan mereka itu ya, hanya...
So it's their belief that they only do puja to Amitabha and ignore the others.
There's, when we look at these different deities, they all have the same essence. They're not like different people.
Makhluk,
they all have the same essence and the same realizations.
Makhluk-makhluk suci ini sebenarnya tidak berbeda. Ya. Mereka punya esensi yang sama, mereka punya realisasi yang sama.
Yeah. So if you have a very deep practice with one and you understand it properly, you recognize that you're actually communicating with all the Buddhas.
Jadi kalau kita prakteknya satu, kita fokusnya di satu, dan sebenarnya kita berkomunikasi juga dengan semua Buddha.
And it's very important to understand that the cause for rebirth in the Pure Land isn't just doing puja to Amitabha or Kuan Yin or both of them. And what about Mahaprasangita? She's going to feel left out too. You know, that attaining rebirth in the Pure Land isn't just about worshipping and puja.
Ya, lahir di tanah suci itu bukan cuma memuja, ya, bukan cuma memuja saja, bukan cuma puja saja. Terus okay. Perasaannya di mana tuh?
Yeah. Yeah. So it's very important if you want to be reborn in the pure land to have very good ethical conduct.
Penting banget kalau mau lahir di tanah suci, kita harus punya perilaku moral yang baik.
It's very important to have love and compassion.
Punya cinta dan belas kasih juga.
And it's very important to want to be born in the pure land so that you can be of the greatest benefit to others, not just so that you don't get born in a lower realm.
Jadi perlu juga kita punya motivasi, kita ingin lahir di situ agar kita bisa membantu semua makhluk, bukan hanya agar saya tidak lahir di alam rendah.
And when you do the Amitabha practice, you should also do it to develop concentration, using the figure of Amitabha as your object of concentration, or using Namo Amitofo as your object of concentration.
Kita juga perlu konsentrasi, kita bisa bayangkan Amitabha, atau kita bisa gunakan baca sutra sebagai objek konsentrasi kita.
Okay, and you should also incorporate wisdom in your Amitabha practice, asking yourself, you know, is Amitabha an independent being, or is Amitabha a dependent arising? What about me, who's saying the Namo Amitofo? Am I inherently existent, an independent being, or am I a dependent arising?
Kita juga menyertakan kebijaksanaan yang dalam praktek ini, apakah Buddha Amitabha itu makhluk tunggal atau yang juga saling bergantungan? Juga diri saya, apakah saya sosok yang muncul dengan sendirinya, atau saya juga makhluk yang saling butuh kondisi untuk muncul, ya, saling bergantungan.
If you actually sit down and read and study the commentaries by the great Pure Land masters of previous centuries, you see that there's much more than just saying Amitofo.
Kalau Anda baca komentar dari satu komentator, ya, di abad sebelumnya, Anda akan tahu bahwa memuja Amitabha itu bukan cuma sekedar duduk dan baca Amitabha.
Okay.
Yeah, I think, you know, what I understand about these three levels of motivation, I think it's the same like other teachings, you know, like they say that to move to a different quadrant, to move to a different level or rearm like that, you know, like to change the mood, you know, like from out, from inside, from outside to inside, or something like that, from ordinary to more meaning, or to move from like survival mood to self-actualization mood. To move from like from ordinary politician to statesman, or to move from
Could you abbreviate your comment, please?
What?
Could you abbreviate?
Yeah. So the concept is to move to a different quadrant.
Yeah.
That is the essence.
Yeah. That's.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. Yeah. In response to the question, it's correct. We are trying to develop our intention, and to increase it and make it deeper and stronger and more expansive.
Jadi sama artinya ini tiga level ini sama seperti ajaran-ajaran lain yang pindah dari satu titik ke titik lain, betul ya. Dimana kita sungguh-sungguh memahami level kita di mana dan kita bergerak tinggi maju untuk bisa melebarkan, memperluas niat dan tekad kita.
And all of this process of expanding our motivation, in order to do it, we have to, you know, subdue the mind that says my happiness now, my pleasure in this life now is most important.
Dan oleh sebab itu untuk mencapai tahapan ini kita perlu harus mampu bisa menaklukkan pemikiran bahwa kebahagiaan saya itu yang penting sekarang.
Okay, so we have to learn to think in more distant future, yeah, and of more sentient beings. And not just I want this, I want that. This is going to make me happy. That makes me suffering.
Kita mesti memikirkan jauh ke depan, ke masa depan, ya. Juga memikirkan semua makhluk. Alih-alih cuma berpikir ini, saya mau bahagia, saya enggak mau menderita.
And I think if you notice, you know, we had many verses about the practice of just to generate the wish, the first level motivation for a future life. There were many verses leading up to that because it's actually very difficult for us to relinquish the attachment to only the happiness of this life. And that takes us a lot of time and a lot of hard work to do that.
Jadi kalau Anda baca untuk level pertama saja itu ada banyak bait sebenarnya. Ya, kenapa? Karena sulit sekali bagi kita untuk bisa melepaskan ya, niat atau tekad motivasi kita hanya untuk kebahagiaan kita di kehidupan ini saja.
So if you find yourself reacting inside to all this talk of, you know, not fulfilling our own what we want right now, that's because it really is difficult to give up that very immediate self-centered motivation.
Kalau Anda berontak, wajar enggak apa-apa karena sulit sekali ya bagi kita untuk menyingkirkan motivasi untuk memenuhi keinginan kita saja. Karena kita sudah terbiasa untuk hanya fokus kepada keinginan kita dan ingin mencapainya sekarang juga.
Yes.
Saya ingin bertanya, semalam kan ada dijelaskan tentang kekeliruan yang tidak beracun atau kiasa, sama nggak penjelasannya dengan di dalam poin ke-10, 10 jenis karma buruk yang kekeliruan juga?
So we talk about ignorance in the three the poison. Is it the same as the ignorance in the 10 wrong deeds?
Ah, good question. No, it's a little bit different. Okay. The ignorance when we talk about let's do it this way. When we talk about the ignorance, that's the root of samsara. That's the ignorance of the not knowing the ultimate nature.
Jadi kekelirutahuan sebagai akar dari samsara adalah kita tidak tahu hakikat sesungguh hakikat sejati, ya, hakikat sejati, sifat sejati alam. Ya.
In some contexts, we talk about ignorance, anger, and confusion, or ignorance, anger, and attachment, or confusion, anger, and attachment, as being something that always gives rise to negative karma. Yeah. In that use of the word ignorance, it's not the ignorance of the ultimate nature, it's the ignorance of karma and its effects.
Jadi kata keliru tahuan ini kan ada dua. Yang pertama, tidak tahu sifat sejati ya. Segala sesuatu itu kan punya realitas. Kedua, kekeliruan yang tidak menyadari karma dan dampak-dampaknya, di mana kemarahan, kebingungan, kecemburuan dan sebagainya itu adalah akibat atau penyebab dari karma-karma negatif.
So that ignorance doesn't understand what to practice and what to abandon, what is virtue, what is non-virtue. So that ignorance helps, you know, innate forces us to create negative karma that brings a bad rebirth.
Jadi kekeliruan pertama itu tidak tahu apa yang baik dan buruk, tidak tahu apa yang harus dipraktekkan dan apa yang harus dihindari, dan akibatnya kita melakukan karma buruk dan kelahiran berikutnya yang buruk juga.
Okay. But that's not the ignorance that's the root of samsara.
Bukan kekeliru tahuan sebagai akar dari samsara.
Because that ignorance is the ignorance that doesn't know the nature of reality, that doesn't know how we and phenomena actually exist.
Karena kekeliruan itu adalah kekeliruan yang tidak tahu akar dari eksistensi kita, bagaimana alam ini atau segala sesuatu ini punya sifat sejati.
Okay, so that level of ignorance, that's the root of samsara, is the real problem.
Jadi kekeliruan atau moha yang sebagai akar samsara, inilah masalah yang sesungguhnya.
Saya ingin bertanya, banyak orang sekarang kan perhatian diri katanya untuk mencapai pembebasan.
So there are many people join a training in order to liberate themselves.
Mm-hmm. Jadi mereka kayaknya menjaga jarak dengan dunia luar, dan katanya kalau terlalu campur mungkin kegiatan di luar dan mereka bisa terseret karena belum bisa bebas.
So actually they keep distance from the outer world because they think if they engage too much with the outer world, they're going to get distant.
Yeah.
They're going to carry the way with the world.
So what's...
jadinya kita saya ini melatih diri, jadi saya nggak ke dunia luar gitu. Pokoknya saya ingin melatih diri dulu. Jadinya juga seperti egois. Kalau tadi juga dikatakan kalau kita harus.
So, what's your opinion about this? If I just want to practice for myself, for my own liberation, it's kind of selfish too. So,
yang penting itu kan kita mencapai pembebasan karena kita menolong makhluk yang lain. Nah, kita menolong makhluk yang lain untuk tahap-tahap kita yang seperti sekarang ini. Sebenarnya apa yang bisa kita lakukan?
So, if we attain complete awakening, we can help. All sentient beings, but with our present condition, today's condition. So, what can we do to help? Mm,
yeah. Okay. So this is why we need half-half.
Ini perlu setengah-setengah ya, half-half.
Because if we just work for our own liberation, when we attain it, we will stay in that very peaceful meditative equipoise on emptiness. Nah, for a long time.
Nah, kalau kita hanya ingin mencapai pembebasan itu, maka kita akan menikmati kebahagiaan, pembebasan, dan menikmatinya itu sangat-sangat lama.
And during that time, we won't be able to benefit anybody else.
Saat itu kita tidak bisa memberi manfaat untuk semua orang yang lain.
Yeah. So they usually say to try and enter the Bodhisattva vehicle directly, without first attaining arhatship.
Makanya dikatakan berupaya untuk langsung masuk ke jalur bodhisattva tanpa mencapai arahat.
Okay. So you can do your bodhisattva practice with a lot of intensity, and then according to you know, your own inclinations and talking to your teacher, then you can decide how much to be involved in social work and other activities.
Anda bisa melakukan praktik bodhisattva Anda dan tergantung ketertarikan Anda juga bisa berbicara kepada guru seberapa jauh ingin terlibat dalam kegiatan aktivitas sosial.
Because it's true, if you're too involved, then your mind gets confused by all the worldly activity.
Kalau terlalu aktif, pikirannya jadi bingung ya karena kegiatan-kegiatan duniawi.
But if we only just think about our own practice and don't do anything else, then it will be a long, long time before we attain Buddhahood, and sentient beings will have suffering during that time.
Kalau kita hanya mikirin kita, diri kita sendiri, maka itu akan lama sekali sampai kita capai kebuddhaan, dan makhluk-makhluk itu sudah sangat menderita.
Does that answer your question? Okay.
Terjawab nggak?
Jadi praktik bodhisattva itu sebenarnya kalau dilihat di sini ya, di 37 ini berarti lebih pada diri sendiri juga.
So it seems like this 37 practice of bodhisattva it's also more to ourselves.
It seems kita memandang makhluk yang lain.
So I mean how and the way we see other beings.
How is it more to ourselves?
Kenapa bisa cuma ke diri sendiri saja kelihatannya seperti itu?
Maksudnya bukan egois tuh. Kita mengubah cara pandang kita. Misalnya kita dimarahi, justru kita harus berpikirkan bahwa itu adalah guru yang sangat berhati-hati.
So,
jadi sebenarnya bukan praktik bodhisattva mungkin yang secara umum dikatakan orang. Bodhisattva itu berarti harus tindakan nyata menolong orang lain atau bagaimana, tapi justru di sini mengubah dulu pandangan kita yang egois itu bagaimana.
Okay, I see. So it seems like the common view is as a bodhisattva you have to engage and help people in society. But here in the text it seems like the very first step that we're going to do is to change of the transform our mind. Let's say if someone get mad at you, you look at him or her as a teacher. So that's the essence of the 37 practice of bodhisattva. While in general people think that a bodhisattva should get engaged more in the social life. So that's the difference between what most people think and what we have in the text.
Yes, there is a difference. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Suhu betul.
I think we should follow the text. Yeah?
So.
Because the text is presenting a balanced view. Some of our practice and some service.
Kita ikutin teks aja. Jadi suhu betul, kesimpulan suhu itu betul. Tapi kita tetap ikutin teks, karena teks itu isinya adalah tentang latihan kita dan juga nanti pelayanan keluar.
If you're just all service, running here, running there, doing this, doing that, then your practice.
Yeah. Jadi kalau kita cuma kesana kemari, nanti latihannya.
But if you know the way I think about it, having a little bit of both, and people will have different proportions. Yeah, there will be different proportions.
Kalau bisa imbang dua-duanya, tapi tiap orang nanti proporsinya ya, jumlahnya beda-beda.
Yeah, monastics will have more emphasis on the practice. Lay practitioners will probably have more emphasis on the social aspect. But everybody has a little bit of both.
Kalau monastik lebih ke nanti latihannya, kalau yang umat awam lebih ke social practice. Tapi kedua-duanya itu harus punya, ya, harus memiliki dua sisi.
The reason I think that some of helping others directly also helps our practice, especially as monastics, is that you can meditate on something and develop love and compassion in your mind. But if you don't engage with others, then maybe your love and compassion isn't as stable as you like to think it is.
Jadi kalau kita nolong orang, sebenarnya nolong diri kita sendiri. Sebagai monastik, kalau kita cuma bermeditasi cinta dan belas kasih, tapi kita nggak pernah terjun, maka kekuatan cinta dan belas kasih kita itu tidak akan stabil, tidak akan kuat.
So we meditate, love, compassion, forgiveness, patience. Then somebody comes to the temple. That person is our practice at that moment. And that person is going to let us see how strong our meditation has been and where we need to improve.
Jadi kalau kita meditasi cinta, kasih sayang, memaafkan, tapi ada orang datang ngomel-ngomel, wait. Terus kita bisa lihat ya bagaimana kita bereaksi dan kita bisa tahu sejauh mana kemajuan praktik meditasi kita.
I'm not saying all the lay people come to the temple like that.
Penerbal tidak bermaksud setiap orang kuihara itu ngoceh-ngoceh ya, ngomel-ngomel.
Just once in a while.
Sesekali ada lah.
Okay. Yeah, this will be the last question and we'll take a break.
I hope this is not a stupid question because I'm still learning Buddhist. Mm-hmm. Why Chandrajit have 11 prayers?
What's
the meaning?
Oh, okay. There's a story.
And why is 1,000 hands?
Okay.
Not 1,000.
So there's a story. I don't know if it's true or not. Okay. But it's a nice story that illustrates the importance of compassion, regardless of whether it's true or not.
Kenapa wajahnya 11 dan tangannya 1,000? Ada kisahnya. Benar atau tidak, saya tidak tahu. Ya, tapi yang penting esensi atau maknanya. Ya.
Yeah. So some of these stories, I don't know that we need to take them literally, but they do illustrate a good point that it's important. That is important for us to reflect on.
Kisah-kisah ini, apakah Anda cuma pengen tahu kata-katanya saja, tapi kisah yang bagus untuk kita bisa renungkan.
Okay, so the story is that one time Tenrezi, you know, was focused very much on liberating living beings from the lower realms by teaching them good ethical conduct, and he worked very, very hard to do that and to liberate them from the lower realms.
Suatu ketika Chandrajit menolong makhluk-makhluk di alam rendah dan mengajarkan mereka, dan beliau sangat sulit ya untuk bisa menolong mereka.
But he would liberate many beings today, then tomorrow the lower realms will fill with more living beings again.
Jadi hari ini beliau telah membebaskan ya dari alam rendah, besoknya lebih banyak lagi yang datang.
So at one point he just felt like, oh my goodness, what am, you know, he had so much compassion for all these living beings, what am I going to do to help them all to be free of the rebirth in the lower realms, and because of the strength of his compassion, his head cracked into 11 heads. Yeah.
Karena pulas asinnya sangat besar ya. Gimana nih bisa nolong begitu banyak makhluk? Kepalanya crack, crack itu pecah ya. Jadi 11 kepala.
But if you look at, there's just at the figure of Chenrezig, there's a lot of symbolism behind the 11 heads and the 1000 arms.
Di balik 11 kepala dan 1000 tangan ini ada banyak simbol-simbol.
Okay. So on a symbolic level, if you have 11 heads, you can look all around at what is going on in all of samsara and see the needs of all sentient beings, because you have so many heads and so many eyes.
Dengan kepalanya 11 bisa lihat ke seluruh penjuru di alam samsara dan apa yang dibutuhkan, karena kita kepalanya banyak dan matanya juga banyak.
When you have 11 arms, your arms are out like this. Put your arms out like this. Does that give you a certain feeling?
Ini ngasih perasaan tertentu.
Your arms are out. You are welcoming all sentient beings. You are caring for all sentient beings.
Anda menyambut semua makhluk. Anda peduli kepada mereka.
Yeah. Chenrezig is not sitting like this.
Chenrezig nggak duduk begini.
Yeah. So you just look at the symbolism. You know, somebody who's sitting like this, they're telling you something. Something. Somebody who's sitting like this is telling you something. So there's symbolism in the form.
Gambar ini bentuknya ada simbol. Orang yang begini, Anda bisa tahu dia kasih tahu apa. Gini dia bisa kasih tahu ya. Dia tandanya apa?
Okay. So let's do the dedication. We'll take a break.
Kita lakukan meditasi dan berapa?
Semoga berkat perkajian ini kita semua segera mencapai kondisi pencerahan sehingga kita mampu untuk membebaskan semua makhluk dari kita.